Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On today's show, we'll be talking about an accessible home entertainment system using the Apple TV.
We'll meet Jose Tamayo, who you may remember from a previous show, and talk to him about how he created this fully accessible home entertainment system, including some demonstrations of actually using the system with either the Apple remote that comes with the Apple TV or from the Apple remote app on the iPhone. First, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is, if you're frustrated with all those remotes for controlling your TV, try configuring a system using the Apple TV.
The Apple technology, what I'm using with the Apple TV and the iPhone and all that, what it's done is it's given me the remote control. And that's quite a bit, because in the past, I've had to ask my daughter, my girlfriend, my fiance, hey, you know, could you tell me where this button is? Because right now we've got remote controls that have like 30 buttons, and it's hard to remember where the button was when you last left the remote control, unless you use it every day. And for me, I had to learn volume up, volume down, and channel, and channel buttons. But all the other ones, like if you have, for example, DVR, and you're recording shows, and you want to watch a show that you recorded yesterday, there's just no way to get to that without somebody that's sighted. Even though changing channels is something that you can learn, but all the technology and all the complexity with remote controls nowadays, it's just making it very difficult. And so this is a step forward for me, at least, and for people that are visually impaired, in allowing us to entertain ourselves and have control of what we watch.
That was Jose Tamayo. We'll be meeting him shortly.
And boy, have we had that frustration, especially me, with all these remotes. We have all these remotes and all these buttons, and we don't use them all that often. And I was really intrigued by what Jose had to say about how to set up an accessible home entertainment system.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll actually introduce Jose Tamayo. You may recall him from show 1150 on Extreme Sports for the Blind, canoeing.
My name is Jose Tamayo. I live in Miami, Florida. I am originally from Cuba. At the age of 10, I was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa. I can no longer perceive people, objects. I can just perceive shadows and light.
Jose certainly had an interesting story that was really unforgettable. If you haven't heard that show, you'll have to go back and download it.
Jose is still in training for a 65-mile canoe trip through alligator-infested waters to raise money and awareness about cystic fibrosis, a disease that one of his daughters has. We did today's interview in January and asked him how the training was going. The trip starts April 4th, which is coming up pretty soon.
I am actually doing 40 minutes of bike every day. And then I'm doing 2 hours of weight training at least four times a week with a lot of focus on rowing exercises. I'm going to be ready for this paddling trip, and I'm going to be paddling alone. What I mean is the person in front of the canoe is not going to be paddling, because I made that choice. I wanted this to be something that I was doing sort of on my own.
When you're out there, everything just seems like you're just focused on that event, the paddling, that you just don't remember anything outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to the to your final destination is when you realize, oh my goodness, I'm back in the real world.
Right.
And look what I did to get there.
So you can see that even though Jose is going to talk about and tell us how he put together his accessible home entertainment system, he's not one to sit around like a couch potato and watch TV all day.
Oh, apparently not. And if you want to follow his progress, go to his website, www.paddle4cf.com. That's all one word, PaddleForCF.
And we'll be talking with him after his canoe paddle trip sometime early this summer to see how it all went, so you all can hear what happened.
You are listening to Viewpoints, 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 Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is creating an accessible home entertainment system using an Apple TV. This is quite a device. The thing's so small it fits in the palm of your hand, and the remote control that comes with it, which is fully accessible, is even smaller.
The Apple TV that Jose is going to talk about is essentially, as Nancy said, a little box. And basically all it does is connect up to your TV and the internet and is a gateway between the two to shuffle information back and forth from the internet or a shared computer to your TV. And then along with the remote, you can control many aspects of your home entertainment system. Let's have Jose tell us what kind of capabilities his system enables him to perform.
What I'm able to do with the system is I'm able to watch some TV shows that I enjoy, and also watch home videos that I take. I'm able to watch YouTube videos. I'm able to watch Netflix. I can listen to podcasts. I can also listen to streams that are available or music that's available under the music category. I have capability to remote control at least the entertainment center that I have right now from my iPhone using the Apple remote application. And that application allows me to control any of that media that I have within my system from one device. And if I'm sitting in the living room and I want to watch something, if I don't find my Apple remote, I could use my iPhone to control the Apple TV so that I can watch any of those shows that I like to watch, listen to any of the music that I like to listen to, and control any of the devices that I have in my home.
Okay, now that we know what Jose can do with his system, let's have him describe to us how this is all set up in his living room.
All right, so what I have in terms of components, from left to right, I've got my television and my Apple TV all the way to my left, and that is the main system. That is where everything goes to. In the middle, I have a client PC. That PC is running Windows XP with a small hard drive, running iTunes, and with two mapped network drives, and we can talk about that in a little bit. And those network drives are mapped to the server, which is to my right. On my right hand side is where, here is where I have my server. It is a PC. It's got Windows XP. Internally, this machine has a 350 gigabyte hard drive, and the machine has two connections to two hard drives. One hard drive is a 1 terabyte hard drive that contains music media. I have a 2 terabyte hard drive that is for movies. Obviously, movies take up a lot more space than music does, so I've set up a separate hard drive for that. And let's call it Drive F for music and Drive G for movies. In this configuration, I also have three routers, actually. I have the broadband router, which is a cable broadband. That broadband router has another router that is connected to it, which is the main router that connects everything. That router is the one that has all the servers connected to it and all the clients. The Apple TV, the client machine, which is in the middle, and the server are all connected to that main router. And that main router has wireless capability as well, but that wireless capability is not shared with anyone. I have a second router that I have connected to the primary router, and that router is the one that I provide wireless access to people, friends, family, when they come over. What I do is I usually launch iTunes on the middle computer, which is the client computer, and I map two network drives every time. The machine restarts, two network drives get mapped, the F drive and the G drive. The F drive maps to music, the G drive maps to movies. Once I launch iTunes, iTunes knows that the F drive is for music and that the G drive is for movies. The two computers are running Windows XP, so you know Jaws 13 is what I have running on both of them.
Although Jose didn't mention it, the reason for having two separate routers is he wants to keep all the high volume traffic on his home entertainment system within one network so it doesn't interfere or be interfered with his other home network that's where people are doing internet browsing, mail, and things like that. So this is, the video is a high demand, high throughput system, and it's good to keep that isolated from the rest. You don't necessarily need to do that, but it's just a good thing.
And then because all of those parts are physically located fairly close to one another, he can connect everything with Ethernet cable instead of relying on wireless, which sometimes has some glitches, dropping packets, or just slowing down.
Right. Also, Jose mentions that he has a client computer running iTunes and then a server computer which holds all the content. Well, he just happened to have a few extra computers lying around. Not everybody does, but you can run this with just a single client computer that runs iTunes and has a large enough disk drive to hold the information that you want to be listening to or watching on your video.
And in case it went by you kind of fast, when he was talking about those external USB hard drives, 1 terabyte and 2 terabytes, a terabyte is 1,000 gigabytes. So those things are pretty big, but, you know, these days they're not very expensive, about $100 a pop.
Probably even less for an internal drive. Although he has external USB drives, they may be that expensive.
And although it sounded like an awful lot of parts, remember, Jose can't see much, and he was able to hook all of this up. He described the basic setup he's got. Here's a description of what parts you need and where you can get them.
And where can one acquire this technology? Well, the technology, you can acquire it pretty much anywhere. If you have the PC, you can have one PC or use your primary PC as the one for your server and launch iTunes on there. In terms of the hard drives, my 2 USB hard drives, I purchased them online. Usually when you plug in a hard drive like that, your computer detects it right away. In terms of iTunes, again, iTunes is free. The Apple TV, you can purchase an Apple TV for $99. The TV, well, you know, just get a TV that has HDMI capability. The Apple TV will not work if you don't have HDMI. Actually, all new televisions are shipping with HDMI capability.
So all this equipment is fairly standard, and you can probably go down to your local electronics shop or order these things over the net if you want to price shop around, but they're pretty easy to obtain.
And here's how to hook them up with your router at the core of this system.
What's required to put these things together? Well, you know, I have a wireless router, which I have connected to my broadband router, my internet router, and that wireless router has a switch, a 4-port switch. Most broadband providers will have routers that they'll provide to you with a 4-port switch. What I did is I connected all my devices to that 4-port switch directly using Ethernet, Category 5, Cat 5 cable, directly to the switch. The Apple TV does support Wi-Fi, but since I have it in proximity to my router, what I did is I connected it directly to my router using the Ethernet port on the router. So you connect both the server and the client, if you have a client. If you only have a server, no problem. You connect your server to your router, and then you connect your Apple TV to that same router. And as long as they're on the same network and running the same on the same router, then you're good to get started. To set up this system for a visually impaired person, it's not difficult.
As Jose points out, it really isn't difficult as a visually impaired person because, you know, you're basically dealing with power cords, Ethernet cords, HDMI cables. They are all tactically very different, and they only plug into certain ports on your router or your TV, so it's pretty easy to do just by touch.
Now, once you've got all the parts connected physically, then you need to run the software and set up the software, and this is also quite doable with very minimal sighted assistance.
The software setup is not hard at all. The first time you set up the Apple TV, you're going to need someone that is sighted. The person that sets up your initial Apple TV configuration will need to be someone that has a little bit of sight, so that way they can get the voiceover turned on, and then you can take it from there and get all your configuration going. You're going to need an Apple ID as well. iTunes is accessible with JAWS, especially for setting up this type of configuration. You will need to turn on home sharing on all your devices that you're going to be using on this network, and that's pretty easy to do. That is accessible with JAWS right now. And setting it up on the Apple TV is accessible with VoiceOver when you get to that point. Again, the sighted assistance that is required for this setup is just the JAWS setup and the VoiceOver, turning on VoiceOver on the Apple TV. But that is it. That is all the sighted assistance that you need from that point on. You can set up your configuration by yourself without much challenge.
One thing that's nice about all these Apple products is that they all come with VoiceOver, which is their text-to-speech synthesizer. And once you enable the accessibility on these devices, your iPad, your iPhone, or the Apple TV in this case, you can easily navigate and run any of these devices just by listening to the prompts from VoiceOver and by arrowing back and forth. And then, of course, on your computer, using JAWS or some other screen reader, you can do the rest of the software configuration that's needed.
And if you're more of a PC kind of person instead of a Mac kind of person, you don't actually need to use Apple computers for this. You can run iTunes on your PC. So how would one get iTunes for a PC or an Apple product?
So what I did was just go to the web, and you can Google download iTunes or just go to apple.com and go to the download link for iTunes. Once you download that, you install it like any other program, and that's pretty simple. The other thing Jose talked about was needing an Apple ID. So you do need to sign into Apple, create some kind of account. And again, that's pretty easy. To get your Apple ID, you run the iTunes application and then go to the pull-down menu, which is Store, and then create an account. That will be Alt-S to bring down the store pull-down menu, and then R for create an account. And then you just follow the prompts. You get to decide on a username and a password, click continue a couple of times, and you'll have an Apple ID.
And then you need to turn on home sharing?
Right. That was the other thing that Jose mentioned. So again, in the iTunes application, you go to the advanced pull-down menu, arrow all the way down to shared, and make sure that box is checked to share everything. And then you're set to go.
Well, they'll ask you for your Apple ID and password, but by then you'll have set up an account and everything should work quite smoothly. So here's a quick demonstration of using iTunes with JAWS.
Right now I am in the main iTunes interface. I've loaded it.
Title is iTunes.
So just to take you quickly through the iTunes interface, here we go. Right now we should be at the tree view where the main items are located, for example.
Music 1 of 8, movies 2 of 8, TV shows 613.
If you purchase TV shows through iTunes, you can get them through there. I am right now at the iTunes store, but I'm going to hit F6 because what I want to do is I want to do a search for music here really quickly.
F6, music list view not selected, summer moved to F6, search music edit, type in text.
And what I want to do is I want to do a search for...
AOTSPACALIFORNIA.
I did a search for Hotel California.
Shift F6. Music list view not selected. Hotel California. Time 6:32. The Eagles album all time top 1000.
I'm going to select it and I'm going to hit enter.
Enter.
Okay. There it is.
Space.
So that shows you how simple it is to run the iTunes application on your PC using JAWS or some other screen reader. And although later on in the show, Jose will be showing you how to run your system either using the Apple remote or even your iPhone. This shows you that you really can actually run your whole system from your computer if you'd prefer to do that.
Now for this week's high-tech item. As promised, demonstrations of actually using this home entertainment system with the Apple remote that comes with the Apple TV and later from the Apple remote app on the iPhone.
This is pretty cool. How many remotes can you currently use now?
None.
Right. So let's hear this.
Right now I have the Apple TV turned on with my TV on. From this menu here, from the main menu, we have from left to right, we have...
Top movies.
Top
button.
Movies.
One of five. In TV shows. Top TV shows. Button.
Then we have
two
TV shows.
In music.
Then we have music.
Netflix. Button.
There's internet. Internet has many applications, which I'm going to show you from now, after this.
In computers.
What's going to show up here is all the list of computers. Right now, I only have one.
In internet. Netflix. Button.
All right. So let's quickly go through this. We have Netflix at the top.
NBA. Button. 2 of 12.
NBA.
WSJ Live. Button. 5 of 12.
The Wall Street Journal. That is a good source of information, and it's all free.
YouTube. Button. 6 of 12.
YouTube. The ever famous YouTube.
Podcasts. Button. 8 of 12.
Podcasts. Well, podcasts should be listed underneath here.
Music videos.
Let's go to
button.
Music videos.
3 of 13.
Here. That way we can
in music
make it
videos.
Simple.
Shuffle videos. All music videos. AC/DC. Button. 3 of 23. Stevie Wonder. Button. 4 of 23.
Stevie Wonder here.
In Stevie Wonder. Shuffle. Button. Stevie Wonder signed. Sealed.
All right.
Loading.
I'm going to play that one by Stevie Wonder, signed, sealed, and delivered. So as you can see, or you can hear, the I've gone into my library and I'm able to play the music. If you want to go to movies and you have a list of movies, I'm going to go to
Benny Moore.
I'm going up here.
Ballistica. Alvin and the Chipmunks. The Squeakquel. 89 minutes. Button.
Okay, Alvin and the Chipmunks. Okay, let's see that I purchased this movie on iTunes and it shows up here on my list. And I just hit play. Now I can pause it, and I can fast forward, and I can do rewind, I can skip by chapter, and do all of that within the Apple remote here. I am fast forwarding it right now at twice the speed so we could hear some stuff here. All right, so that's using the Apple remote.
That shows you how easy it is to use the Apple remote, which is the little remote control that comes along with the Apple TV, all fully accessible with VoiceOver. That's what we were hearing, the Apple VoiceOver synthesizer.
And if somebody in your house does you the favor of misplacing the Apple remote, you can just whip out your iPhone and control the system just as easily.
Right now, what I want to do is I want to show you how to use the Apple TV using the iPhone remote application. So let me go find my remote app here. If I can describe this to you, is I have a keyboard. It's a QWERTY keyboard that is displayed on the screen. It is a flat touch screen. And the QWERTY keyboard, as I navigate with my finger, you notice that as I go through the screen here, it's telling me what's on the screen, which is really nice. All right, hear that? Okay, now.
Remote, top hit. Living room Apple TV, button.
There it is, living room Apple TV.
Living room Apple TV.
Now what I want to do is I want to control next, that button. Device.
Next button. Previous button.
What I have is I have the iPhone controlling the Apple TV, and I'm able to do the same thing that I do with the Apple remote. What I can do now is I can go through this library here.
In main menu, computers, JT, main system, button, one of one.
Now, I had to turn
to access your iTunes library on Apple TV, turn on home sharing, in JT, main system, music, button, one of six.
What I had to do is I had to turn off voiceover on the phone so that I could work with the menu on the Apple TV. So check this out.
Movies, button, two of six.
What I did is I dragged my finger down on the screen here on my iPhone and the menu moves down on the Apple TV. Check it out.
iTunes U, button. Podcasts, button. TV shows, button. 3 of 6.
Let me find a movie here.
Music. Movies, button. 2 of... Loading JT, main system. Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel. 89 minutes, button. 6 of 347.
I'm going there. Alvin
resume
and the
playing.
Chipmunks.
Button.
It
1 of 2.
Wants me to resume playing. And I'm going to just start from the beginning. Actually, you know what? I'll resume playing by tapping once with my finger. There. Now, If I tap once on the iPhone screen, I can pause the movie, or I can tap on it again and continue it. Now I'm gonna go ahead and pause the movie. I'm gonna turn on voiceover on the iPhone, and then I'm gonna go to the main menu and turn off my Apple TV.
So it was great. He had all those voiceovers from the iPhone and the Apple TV talking at once. He kind of crashed into each other a little bit. But looks like you can pretty well throw out all your remotes if you're willing to get an iPhone, huh?
Yeah, sounds nice.
Maybe someday we'll make the move, but we're not quite there yet, although this was very intriguing.
Let me tell you, the part of this system that I like the best is that the blind guy can hook it up himself.
And use it himself.
Well, that's true. So, in case you couldn't tell, Jose is pretty enthusiastic about his home entertainment system with his Apple TV. He also really loves the independence he gets from using his iPhone.
I never really wanted to have a touchscreen because a lot of us know about the challenges of touchscreen technology. I was very skeptical until I read an article and I heard a demo online. And then a friend of mine came over and he had an iPhone 3GS, which was the first phone that had voiceover capability. And when I tried that and I heard what was on the website, I was like, wow. And my goodness, everything on this phone is accessible. Unlike other phones, this one allows you to move your finger around the entire screen and it gives you feedback on everything that's on there. The iPhone and the iPod and the iPad right now, the entire screen is accessible with your finger. And with voiceover turned on, the technology has been built so well that somebody who is visually impaired can use it. I am telling you, this is unbelievably accessible, and I will never go to any other phone again, ever.
Apple really did a great job with that interface and integrated a lot of these accessibility features right into the OS, which is neat. And as Jose says, you can just scroll your finger around the screen and any of these iDevices just speak what's under your finger. So it's easy to browse a page and see the layout. On many of the Android devices, you have to arrow around and go kind of a link or a button at a time that way. You can't just move your finger around and learn what's on the screen. So this is really cool. I've also heard of people who have Bluetooth refreshable Braille devices that they can use with their iPhones. So there's a lot of accessibility built in.
Right, and if you're low vision instead of no vision, the iPhone also makes it really, really easy for you to zoom in on anything so you can read whatever is displayed. It's a really, really accessible device. We actually did an entire show on the accessibility of smartphones. That's number 1145. And in the future, as the inevitable upgrades happen, we will do future shows about accessibility of smartphones, both the iPhone and Android platforms. If you missed any of the links we've mentioned above, they're all in the show notes, which you can find at our website, www.viewpointsplus.net. That's it for show number 1213. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about yarn crafts for the blind with Anna and Crystal, who maintain a blog discussing all manner of information about yarn crafts, including knitting and crocheting and spinning for people with visual impairments. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333 and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.